to have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Oh my God, you got to open your mouth and say something. To God be the glory. Hey, oh my God, I believe we just went ahead and adopted that. to be a our new opening. I love it. I tell you what, oh God, it stirs the Holy Ghost up on the inside of me. And I don't know. There's some stuff that God is doing in me. In me. That, I mean, I've never been a dead type Christian, but a dead believer. But there's something now that God is doing that's bringing about an excitement in my innermost being. And I'm thankful to God for it. To God be the glory. Well, once more and again, we're here with the Lord. We're here with our fabulous producer, Kimmy Kim. We thank God for another opportunity to be here and to be with you. And we just thank God for who God is. Before we start, I'd like to open up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you again for the opportunity to be able to bring forth your word. We thank you for the ears and the hearts and minds is going to be hearing this word. And we pray, Father God, that it falls on good ground. And we thank you, Lord God, that it will encourage and it will build up some of those who may be weak at the time. And we pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that it be a light to somebody's path. And if there be someone out there that's not saved, we pray that it find a place in their heart that will bring them to the place of repentance. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen, 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 and amen. Well, first, I want to open up with a testimony. God, I could probably go on about two or three of them, but first of all, I do want to thank God that I am saved. I have been bought with a price. I have been washed in the blood. I thank God for that. I had an opportunity yesterday as I was downtown to witness to someone, and in that witnessing, it shined a light on myself, and in the way that it shined a light on myself was that I saw in the person that I was ministering to or witnessing to that the enemy of this world, that's what a lot of people don't understand, that the enemy of this world, the prince of the air, had blinded this guy's heart to the point where he could not or would not or had no desire to receive the word of the Lord. As he departed, I took self-inventory. And as I took self-inventory, I remember, God, that could have been me. So I'm thankful that I'm no longer in that state, not bragging, not boasting, just realizing that it's not, my salvation is not on my own. It's nothing that I did on my own. God just chose me, and I surrendered and said yes. I can remember times when people would put, you know, gospel tracts in my hand, you know, so that to see that I, you know, in order that I could find Christ. And I remember, you know, walking by the trash can, throwing them down and throwing them in the trash can. But now I understand that word is sharper than any two-edged sword. That word will penetrate. That word still works. That word is effective. And what we have to do is just continue to pray for those that once they hear the word, that God will send another to water the word, that God will bring forth the increase. So that's one. Just one testimony that I'm sharing right now. The other one kind of lines up with the worship song, the praise song that came on. Open up your mouth and say something. I left the house today, probably around 3 o'clock, 3:30, and I thought for sure I would be back home by the time it was time to come on the podcast. It was no problem. I just knew that I would be back. And everything be done that I needed, and I would have plenty of time and the whole nine yards. But how many know sometimes we plan a certain thing and everything be going according to what we think, and then all of a sudden it seems as though the enemy pops his head up, and I started having car trouble. And after a while I did begin to lay my hands on the car, and I begin to speak to that situation. I'm still believing more and more that God is bringing us to the place to where he's wanting us to speak to that mountain so that that mountain can be moved. And as I began to pray and as I began to speak to that situation, the car fired up, brought me back home as though there was no problems whatsoever. I'm thankful that we made it back home safe and on time. So we thank God for God, how he moves, how he directs us, and how he's a God of his word. Again, it's nothing that I've done. I'm just trying to be a faithful to the Most High and exercising the things or the gifts that he's given unto us. And we just thank God for it. And we thank God again for this opportunity to be able to bring forth the word of the Lord to his saints and those who are not yet his saints but are about to be his saints. We thank God for you. I was looking up over something, and this also lined up with what I kind of experienced on yesterday, too. Because a lot of times I realize that we take certain things for granted. Yeah, I see it like that. There's certain things sometimes we do take for granted and don't realize that most situations we have a God, the only one God, who is working in the background. And I was looking at that as I was looking through my daily devotion. And God was just basically saying that that I will cover you with my robe of righteousness. Now, that conversation did come up in the conversation that I was saying as I was talking to someone yesterday. And some of the words he was right, because he did quote part of the scripture where he was saying, our righteousness, my righteousness, is but dirty, filthy rags, which is so true. It is so true. So therefore, we need Christ. We need Jesus. We need the Savior. Our righteousness on our own is not the righteousness whatsoever. It takes a just God to wash us, to cleanse us, to give us grace, to be able to be into the place where he can give us a robe of righteousness. There's a transfer that comes to place. Oh man, I'm giving you a little bit of something. But there's a transfer because I can remember in my particular walk with God for the longest, he would always talk, you know, I would always hear different words, different things about putting on your whole armor, that you may be able to fight against the wiles of the enemy. And I remember very, very vividly where I was in church and this guy began to, and matter of fact, he needed somebody to interpret it, the prophetic word to me. But God was telling me that he was taking away my armor. He was taking that armor away and placing on a robe of righteousness. And when it happens, your battle is different. I guess that's why I get so caught up into the word being spoken, because your battle is not totally different now. Your battle is because of the position or the place that God has placed you in, as far as the royal priesthood. Your word, the words you speak, carry weight in the spirit realm. So therefore, you have to remember, like what Paul said, God help us. Paul said that shall bitter water and sweet water come out of the same fountain, God forbid. You have to really be careful about the words that you speak, because the words that you speak carry weight in the spirit realm. They carry weight in the spirit realm. there are things that you can speak and things will begin to manifest. So that's why it's not so good for you to be looking at your children and talking about, oh, he's so bad, she's so bad, because you're sowing a seed. You're sowing a seed. So in order to reverse that, you need to say, oh, she's so good, even though she's tearing up the house. You need to reverse that. You need to speak something positive into their life as opposed to something negative. And I had planned on going down that road, but yeah, that's where it is, because so many times sometimes don't have someone who has the knowledge or the wisdom in our lives to speak something positive, especially with some of our young black males. And I'm not trying to throw off, it's just the way it is. In some of the cases in the old school, some of them would tell you, you're not going to be nothing, you're not going to amount to nothing, you're not going to ever achieve nothing, this, that, and the third. And some of them meant that, and some of them did it out of trying to have what we would call a reverse psychology, to try to make you pick up yourself and, you know, by the bootstraps or whatever, and try to prove them wrong. So some of them tried to do it that way, but we had to realize that through the Word of God, by the Word of God, that words have power. Words have power. I can't tell you how many different times that in different services where I was ministering or preaching, God would have me to come against word curses over different people's lives. And it was because someone in their life that was in a place of authority spoke something negative over their lives. And it brought forth a hindrance. It brought forth all kind of different things because they were believing what someone else had spoken to them. So God had to come in and change their verdict in their life so that they could go forward and so that they could prosper. Let me go to 1 Peter 3:18. I think that's where I want to go. No, that's not where I want to go. I want to go to Isaiah 62:10. If I can. Isaiah 62:10. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. There's a standard God wants to set before us. There's a standard. See, if you don't have a standard, if you don't have what we call a goal, then you really don't have anything to reach for. You really don't have anything that you want to really accomplish. So this scripture here is just telling us that, you know, that God does sets up different standards, sets up different places for us to achieve certain things. And it's just not like God came into your life one day and saved you, and that's all there was to it. I used to hear so many times people say how, you know, church was boring, this, that, and the third, but I've never found church to be boring, especially once I received Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior and got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I never found church to be boring. But then again, I'm one of those that that don't even find too much of anything boring. I sometimes hear different people say that they're bored, and I'm like, how do you do that? I don't I don't understand how you do that. I mean, I can pick up a book. I can play solitaire. I can go shoot some hoops. I can go check out a movie. If I don't have to do anything else but go to the mall and watch people, I can watch people. If anything else, let me just take a nap. I don't know how to be bored. I don't know how to be bored. That's a blessing that I believe is instilled in me to kind of like be knowing how to be content in whatever state that I'm in. But sometimes I also have to realize, or I have to be careful, because I have known that I may have been content a little bit too much and needed to move on when I needed to move on. So it's a place where you have to have balance. You have to have balance. Let's look at Luke 15 and 22. And I'm going here simply because I know without a doubt, that there is some saints who are listening. There's some saints who are listening who have gone through a lot of, you've had your share of heartaches, you've had your share of disappointments, but yet you remain faithful to God, the things of God, the church, whatever. And I'm seeing and I'm finding out that in this season, God is at the brink of releasing blessings to those who have been faithful. We used to hear saying, we probably still hear the saying, that favor is not fair. In most cases, I would say favor is fair. The thing about it is that some people just didn't see the struggle that you went through when you went through. They didn't understand the struggle that you went through when you went through. Some of them probably thought you was just going through some kind of psychological setback or whatever. Or some of them probably came right out and downright and probably called you lazy and everything else but a child of God. But nevertheless, you know what the warfare was about. God knew what the warfare was about. And now some, God is in the midst of turning things around for you. Luke 15:22, it says, but the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and bring a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. For those of you who probably may not have heard, for those of you who have heard, of course, we're talking about the father concerning the prodigal son. The prodigal son went before the father and he got his due inheritance before time. And during this time, he spent all that he had in wild living, living with different women, living with, you know, party, living pretty much almost like without a conscience. And because of that, finding himself out there with the pigs, eating what the pigs ate. That's the thing that this guy was kind of speak to me on yesterday. He was trying to say that God gave him life And because God gave him life, he can do what he want to do with it, which is somewhat of a truth. And he said, don't look at the signs. Don't pay no attention to any signs. And I was like, no, sir, you need to pay attention to signs. I told him, I said, if you were to get a car, park this your car on Hill Main Street and looked at that sign that you parked in front of, and you don't pay no attention to that sign, when you get back, you go get back to your car with a rude awakening. Either it's going to be a little orange ticket on there that you got to pay for a fine, or could be a little boot on the wheel to where your vehicle won't move. You have to pay attention to the sign. And sometimes, and in the prodigal son, I'm quite sure with the prodigal son, before he got to the place that he was eating with the pigs and the pigs died, I'm quite sure there were signs that he saw before he got to that state. It just don't, per se, overnight. I'm sure that there were signs that he just flat out ignored. But the Bible says that one day he came to himself. It said one day he came to himself. Let's look at the 14th verse in this. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He couldn't even get anybody to give anything to him. And when he came to himself, in the 17th verse, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and perish with hunger? All of a sudden he comes to himself and he realizes where he came from. Some of us have to realize where it is we came from, what it is we had. Sometimes you don't miss what you have until you run out. We've heard that saying. You don't miss your water till your well go dry. And he said, and he said he came to himself, and he said, I will perish. In the 18th verse, he says, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That's the first step that we have to take, acknowledging our sins, acknowledging our wrongdoings, acknowledging I have seen people who have, oh my God, who have sinned, knew they were sinning, and when the consequence came, they felt like the consequence wasn't supposed to come and that the consequence may have been too harsh. But still, it wasn't enough for them to want to come back to the Father and repent. They still wanted to hold on to whatever it was they were holding on to. They still wanted to make amends with him, she, her, them. In other words, they still wanted to hold on and depend upon the arm of flesh instead of the spirit of the true and living God. This is not so with the prodigal son. He said he came to the Father, and he arose. He said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to, and I'm going to say, I have sinned against heaven and before the 19th verse says, and am no more worthy. I'm not even worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Listen, that is humility. He knew that he was still a son. He knew he was a son, but he felt like, I don't deserve to be as a son. Just make me just. I'm not trying to demand my spot. I'm not trying to demand my position. Let me come in as a hired servant to do anything. I'm just wanting to make things right and come in clean, period. And he said, I'm not even worthy to be called thy son. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Listen, we have to realize that just as anxious as we are to get back to our place in God, just as anxious as we are to get back to God, to get back to relationship with God, to get back in the fellowship with God, God is just that much more anxious to make amends. He's just that much more anxious to bring you back, to reconcile you back unto himself. That the word said he that the Father saw him from afar off and knew he who he was from a great distance. And the Bible said that the Father ran. He said nothing about the Son running to the Father. He said that the Father ran to him, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and he began to be merry. Listen, the son wanted to be noticed as a servant. But the father was like, no, this is not my servant. I'm bringing him back. I'm bringing him back to his rightful place. I'm changing his garment from a beggar's garment to a robe of righteousness. He even put on the ring, his signet. He put the ring on him to let him know that he still belongs. There may be somebody out there that's listening to me right now, and you may feel like you've drifted too far away from God. And you may feel like you've done so much horrible stuff. And you may feel like you're not worthy to be in the fold once more and again. But I'm here tonight. I'm here tonight to let you know that you're still worthy to be back in the fold. I'm here tonight to let you know that he still has his arms open wide for you to come back to the fold. I'm here to let you know that he's married to the backslider. And when I read the word says he's not about divorce. Moses said from the beginning it was not so. But because of the hardness of men, God permitted this. But from the beginning, it was not so. He's married to the backslider. I don't know who I'm talking to, but bless God, he's here for you to restore and to renew. It don't matter where you are. It don't matter where you've been. He's able to restore. There's nothing lost. I've seen some who may have been in God, who had matured and who had begun to flow prophetically and the gifts of healing and deliverance and all that. And then somewhere along the line they slip up, they fall, and then when they say, well, I'm coming back to the Father, they come back to the Father, and the enemy starts tricking them, trying to make them think, well, you can't operate in what you used to operate in. The devil is a lie because nothing's lost. God will restore that, and he'll make it even that much more, that much more profound. I've seen him do it. He'll make it that much more profound, that much more accurate. I've seen him do it. And he'll tell them nothing's lost. None has been lost. He still gives it freely. sometimes, like I said, we sometimes need to take self-inventory. If certain things are not flowing right, they're not doing right, what's really going on? What's happening? What's the holdup? Could it be that I've distanced myself from the Father? Because a lot of times we don't realize just how much control God has in our lives. A lot of times we just think it's, you know, I got it going on. If I present myself to this person this way, if I present myself to this person that way, you know, what kind of connection can I make for this and that and the third, and everything's going to be all right. But we don't got, you have to realize God opened doors that no man can open, and he closes doors that no man can close. We have to keep that in remembrance. Let's look at Psalms 11 through 12. I may not be for you that long tonight, but this is something that I've been going, looking through, and God kind of just laid it on my heart to go over this. A lot of times it's different things that I experience. He'll say, yeah, now let's work with this. Let's talk about this. But Psalms 30, 11, 12. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. And when I read this, my mind go back to the different things that Jesus did, that they did by the gate called Straight. When they said, when Peter looked, said, "Silver none, I have none, but you look on me. The same that I do have, I give unto thee. Arise and walk." During those times, they had what they call a beggar's garment. A guy used to sit there and beg for alms, beg for money. He was lame. But the minute they spoke that word, he got up and he walked. His beggar's garment had to come off. He was willing, he was willing to go forth. There was no need for him to have a beggar's garment. I'm telling you, where he was mourning, now I'm sure he was glad. He was no longer mourning and moping around. I'm quite sure he had a dance in his feet. I've heard tell that there have been some people who didn't want to be healed because if they got healing, they realized that their government check would get cut off. Lord have mercy. But realize that God wants to heal. God wants to deliver. God wants to set us free. And God wants to turn your mourning into dancing. Jesus said, 10:10, John 10:10, he said, the thief come to rob, to steal, to kill, and to devour. He said, but I came that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Listen, when the thief come, he comes to rob you. Yes. If the thief come, and when the thief come, and he hits a certain part of your body, like your arm, your leg, or whatever, and it's not working no more, it's not like he want to really rob you of that particular part of your body. What he's trying to rob you of is your faith. The arm is not going to do him no good. The leg is not going to do him no good. What he's trying to do is rob you of your faith. But Jesus said he came that you might have life, not just have life, but that you might have it more abundantly. He wants you not to be mourning, but he wants you to be dancing. He wants to take off your sackcloth and give you a robe of righteousness, give you a robe of gladness. He wants to do that so that when people see your old state and your new state, they can't help but say, God did that. And how do I get this God that he has? How do I get a hold of this God that she has? God wants you to have life. And he wants you to have it more abundantly. 12 verse says, to the end, that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. What in the world are you going to let God bless you for and you don't want to tell nobody? Why would you want God to do all these miraculous, marvelous, miracle things in your life and you don't want to tell nobody? You don't want to share it with nobody. You don't want to give nobody else know the hope, the same hope that you have. No, the devil is a lie. You must go tell it. You must go encourage someone else. I believe it was Paul that said once, no, it was one of the other disciples, I believe, that said once you've been converted, once you have been converted, go strengthen the brethren. It's not for us just to get the blessings and sit down on it and hold it. It's for us to be a blessing as well. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee. And I'll do it more times than one. I'll do it forever. 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 I shared this one time. I used to hear people say, you know, how the scripture says, you know, around the throne of God, there's the angels, and they're just going around him and they're just saying, holy, 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 holy. And, you know, as a young person, I couldn't understand why that would be necessary. But now that I have tasted of his goodness and I think about all that he done or has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. If I had 10,000 tongues, I know now, I understand now, I still couldn't praise him enough. Just the mere thought of him, I praise him enough. The more I praise him, the more I want to praise him. The more I praise him, the more praises. Hey, at certain times, I'm just doing nothing. I ain't got my mind nowhere. And all of a sudden, my hands just go up. And I have to give him praise. That's due to him. He deserves that. All the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. I still got strength in those limbs. They can go up. They can fly up. And I can say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I probably do it at a ball game. If I saw something going on in a ball game, I might holler. Why can't I do it for God? Hallelujah. Well, y'all, I'm not going to hold you long tonight. But we just thank God again for this opportunity. We thank God. We thank Kimmy Kim for being with us. We pray that the word found a resting place in your heart. We pray that God does a swift turnaround in some of your lives that have been wounded, that have been scarred. You've held fast to the profession of your faith. And we just decreeing that you don't give up now because your help is on the way. For those who may have been on the side of my voice, who may have tried to go your own way and find out your own way is not the way. We pray that this night you find your way back to the Father. Like I said before, he's married to the backslider. And he's there with his arms wide open. So if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you knew him once and you like to come back, just repeat after me and it'll all be done. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you humbly. We come humbly, as we know how, in the name which is above every name, Jesus the Christ. And Father God, right now, in Jesus' name, we ask that you forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, our faults, our failures. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that he died on the cross for all our sins and all our iniquities. We believe that on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hand. We thank you for coming into our hearts, for saving us, for making us a new creature in Christ Jesus. We renounce Satan as in every part of our lives. We renounce him. We come even, Lord God, concerning the backsliders, we come right now in Jesus' name asking that you heal the backsliding of our hearts. Give us another chance. Try us once more and again. Cause us to be that which you call us to be. We be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you pray that prayer with me, you can find me. If you like more prayer, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Snapchat. You can find me on Instagram. Simple. Brian Blassingame. BRYANBLASSINGAME. We'll be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to pray for you. Until we meet again next week, we pray that everything you do it in decency and in order. For most of all, do it for his glory. Kimmy Kim, we love you. Will you please take us out? In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I just want to say thank you for sending your son down to die for my sins. Even though I messed up, did I get it wrong? You love me unconditionally. So here I am, all I have is you. A sinner saved by grace, but is that really true? Cause I'm still feeling love for what I used to do. And I don't feel a change, but my heart yearns for you. I don't feel complete, even when it's going right. When I'm missing you, Lord, please come into my life. Loving you the real test, not to love you to get blessed. And yes, I know that you the best. So here I am to worship, sacrifice my life so you can work it. How you see fit for your glory is worth it. Everything else can take a backseat. Running to your throne for your mercy like a track meet. Why you have to ask me? I don't understand. Without you, Lord, how can I be a real man? I ain't gon' try. I give you all of me, Lord, and ride till I die. Put my
here
knees
I
to the
am
floor.
To worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. Altogether.
Me still to this day, it feel make believe. Why would you save me? I stoned you to death. I made you bleed on your cross to your last breath. Lord, was I really worth it? Cause apart from you, my life is all worthless. Ain't no point in working, cause it's all in vain. Without a real purpose, I really need to change. I don't know how, it's amazing that you even called me. Lord, I'm in all see, my struggles still haunt me. Random women every night, just to feel wanted. To feel like a man, cause my daddy didn't want me. Had a past pain, addicted to Mary Jane. Father on cocaine, money down the drain. Baby mama drama, got me going insane. I know I've been redeemed, but
here
I don't feel
I
a change.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful.
Paying homage to your father, that's my only option. After you ripped the veil and gave me the gospel, so I could see the truth, so I could walk with you. And that's the greatest thing that anyone can ever do. You really saved my life when I was worse at it. An addict on any level for pleasure, pain, and passion. I could never grasp it, cause it's never lasting. But Lord, you everlasting. I burn my flesh to ashes so I can walk with you. Your love is unconditional. So even though I struggle with my past, you still see me through. Sometimes I get it wrong. I fail plenty times. But I get back up and I ride your son, live and die for my eternal life. So now I'm still tight. God inside, you give me light. Now I'm saying I will fight. All my pain, hurt, and my struggles in my past life. Lord, you wipe away my tears every night.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow.